Every year in February, we try to take at least one of our mornings to do what we call Missions Awareness Sunday. And the focus of today is it's an opportunity for us to become better acquainted with and even develop a stronger attachment with those missionaries or organizations that we support. So you know in the past, we've had Nagash from Ethiopia come and speak. We had Phil Eister one day come speak. And there have been times that we've had no one speak that we support. And what we've done on those Sundays is just walk through, here are all the missionaries or works that we support, just so that you could become acquainted with them. And the need of this, I think, was even voiced a Sunday night when just a couple people said, we know we give money monthly towards this person or this individual. Now, what do they do again? And so this allows us to better answer that question. And this morning, in the Lord's providence, we're blessed to have Mason and Cindy Leaf here. Steve Sabirbuck told me, David and I were talking about February 20th. Would this day work? We decided that it would. What are we going to do? We found out that Mason was going to be in town this very weekend. And so he's here to share with us. Mason labors through an organization called Campus Outreach on Tennessee Tech. So he's at the other end of the state. But he's here to share with us this morning. And I'm going to go ahead and say this just so we all know it and the guys themselves don't feel awkward. But Mason's brought a few guys to share with him as well. And what we do on Sunday mornings is we record this on the computer. And so it's going to feel odd, isn't it? So they're going to have some handheld microphones, and you're going to think, where are these coming out? Well, nowhere in here, but it just aids us to record on the computers in there. So you're not going to be able to tell if they have the mics on or not, but it's going to be helpful for us. So, Mason, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you, brother, and let you go from here, and
great.
Then you can just close us out.
Thank you very much. How's everybody doing this morning?
Good.
Good. Well, like you said, my name is Mason Leaf. And my pride and joy is right here, my wife, Cindy. Cindy, wave your hand right there. And but we were in town this weekend. Every spring we have our, you know, it's February, but when you're on semesters, it's just everything spring. We have our spring retreat, and it so happened we were having it with the University of Memphis, and it was in Jackson, and things lined up. And I had this talk to Steve randomly. He's like, actually, you won't believe this, yada, yada, yada. And what do you know? God is sovereign. Hey, you know, and so it's exciting. But like Lee said, I work for an organization called Campus Outreach. It's an interdenominational campus ministry that hubs through regional churches as missionaries from that regional church. We're out of Second Presbyterian in Memphis, and I'm at the actual campus of Tennessee Tech University. So I'm not from Ethiopia or Peru or any of those places. I'm from the wild frontier of the college campus in the United States. And there's a whole lot of pagans and wild animals there. And we have a good time sharing the gospel in those places. But, you know, one of the rare things I feel like churches get to do is, one, have a face-to-face with some of the missionaries they support. So that alone is encouraging and exciting about this morning. But two, to bring natives who've come to Christ or are growing in Christ from the front lines is even more exciting. And I've been able to bring a couple of these guys with me to come and share their testimonies. You know, one of the best ways to share what Campus Outreach does on the campus and our philosophy and vision for building laborers on the campus for the lost world is through, I think, some personal testimonies. And so I'm going to have these guys come up and share here at the very beginning. And then as soon as they're done, they're going to, besides having the awkward microphone, they're also going to awkwardly leave as soon as they're done because they're having a morning rally over at the spring retreat. So they're going to dip out as soon as we're done. So I'm going to have these guys come up and introduce themselves one after the other and just kind of share their testimonies and how your, and think about this. You know, one of the missionaries who has impacted my life, and I'm pretty sure has impacted your life as I've talked to some of the people here, is Paul Washer. His ministry, Heart Cry Ministries, used to be located about an hour from where I went to college. And so he used to come and speak at our weekly meetings. We got to go hang out at his farm in Illinois. It was a pretty cool thing. And he would always say this. He would always say, hey, there's two sides of missions. There's one person holding the rope, and there's one holding on to the other end of the rope being lowered down. And this morning, I get to be the one in this situation who's the one lower down. You guys are the ones holding the rope. And I want to share some stories from some of the guys who were down that well with me. And so Joe's going to start off, and then we'll hear from the other guys.
Hi. Like you said, I'm Joe Martin. I just want to tell you about my experience in Campus Outreach. I'm from J. Jefferson City, Tennessee. It's East Tennessee. Went to Tennessee Tech. Sort of just, I would say by accident. My brothers went there. They gave me a lot of money, so it's like, sure, I'll go there. And ironically, I studied agriculture at a technological school, but that's how it worked. But when I got there, you know, my brother had been involved with this ministry called Campus Outreach, and I was like, yeah, that sounds cool, but I'm not going to waste my summers, waste my breaks with these guys. Like, I've got friends back home, so I just went in sort of with a negative attitude about it, but of course, I started to go, and I met a lot of his friends, and really just through seeing their lives and comparing mine with them, which wasn't necessarily a good thing, but it did show me just a lot of weaknesses and things in my life. I started to see just differences in our life, and some big ones were just, I guess I'd call them radical Christian living, or just a bit personal evangelism, and that was just like going in the cafeteria and sharing with people. I was like, dang, I've never done stuff like that. It's stuff like memorizing scripture, and I've never really done much of that, you know, if at all. And I guess personal discipleship, so just life on life, like, you know, I just want to help you grow. Like, let's talk about some real sin, you know, in your life. And it was all stuff that I'd never experienced. I had grown up in church, but I just never really seen. And so I started going through some doubt in my faith and some different things, but through that, God just showed me, and it's a fruit in your life that really, really is a proof of you being a Christian. It's not what your parents believed. It's not what you professed when you were 9 or something like that. And I realized that. I came to have assurance of my faith, and God really gave me that. But since then, I live on a dorm hall. That's sort of been my area of ministry, I guess. And through other people's lives who've just been pouring into me discipleship, you know, like Jesus said in Matthew 28, I've just been able to evangelize to people on my hall, build relationships. One big thing the dorm guys do, I guess there's sort of three big ministry pools. There's athletes, there's fraternities, Greek life, and then there's dorm ministry. And I'm sort of dorm ministry. And one big thing we do is we start intramural teams, and we always lose. We barely ever make it to playoffs. Luckily, you know, most of the guys don't care. And so that's one thing we do, is just start those relationships and just really build on those, so that later in the fall, maybe even in the spring, we can share the gospel with these guys. Try to bring them to our weekly meetings, and just really try to let them see our lives, which is real neat to happen in a dorm hall. It's just real dynamic. You get to see people every day. And through all these experiences, I've just started to see, I mean, I didn't have any vision for my life. I was like, yeah, I'm a Christian, and I love God a little bit, I think, and I want to love Him more. And I just realized, man, I don't even know where I'm going. And so through Campus Outreach, and through just understanding Scripture better, I realized, and I can have a vision. I know what my vision should be, is to make disciples the rest of my life. And I don't really know exactly what I'm going to do after college. I'm sure most of you are in that same boat. But whatever I do, whether I get a job with full-time missions, you know, maybe staff on Campus Outreach, I want to make disciples the rest of my life. And so that's just what has impacted me the most about this ministry. So.
A couple seats here, and someone here too, if you guys want to come on in.
Alright, my name is Corey Watson. I'm actually from Sevier County over in East Tennessee. I don't know if y'all have ever been to Dollywood or Gatlinburg or anywhere, so that's where I'm from. Fortunately and unfortunately, actually. But anyway, I grew up over there in East Tennessee. I really didn't grow up in a Christian church, or I'm sorry, in a Christian home. My bad. There's a Christian church. And so, I guess growing up, I'd always heard about my brothers going to church and just kind of coming back. And actually, there was a couple times where I had two older brothers, and they both, one of them got baptized, and the other one got baptized a year or two later. And I just remember thinking, I don't really know anything about this God thing, but my older brother's doing it, I want to do it, and just agreeing with them. And I remember sitting down, and when I was about 8 or 9 years old, and watching TV and with my brothers. We were watching. We were in Oneida, Tennessee. I don't know if you any of y'all know where that's at, but they were doing a little judgment play on TV, and I just remember looking at it and being scared to death. Like I almost started crying just right there because I didn't have a clue what it was, but I just saw half the church was heaven and the other church was hell, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I don't have a clue what's going on here, you know. And so that was really, now that I look back at it, that's the first time I think I really experienced God, really the first time I actually felt God in my presence. But when I was about 13 years old was the first time I actually ever stepped foot in a church, and it was actually because one of my buddies I was playing baseball with in Little League, I got the opportunity, his parents invited me to go, and so I went. And I'm pretty sure I about passed out at the door before I walked in because my heart was pounding. I had no clue what was going on. I'd never really, like I said, I'd never really been in church before. I didn't know what to expect. And we got up there, and the preacher was just like, hey, at the end, he said, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you know, pray this prayer. And I did because I thought, hey, maybe that's, you know, maybe I do need this Jesus guy. I don't know who he is, but, you know. And so I prayed that prayer, told everybody I was a Christian, and all the way through high school, I got an opportunity to play football at Seward County High School, and to actually start when I was a freshman. And so when I played, it was easy for me to get involved with not just my teammates, but just with the whole school, with just different things I shouldn't have been doing. And so I, you know, during high school, I was claiming that I was a Christian one day, and then next day I'm doing something different. And so I actually got a chance, an opportunity to play football at Tennessee Tech. I got a full scholarship there, and right now I still got one more year left. And so my first 2 years at Tech, it was even easier there to fall in with the crowds, especially as a football player. You get all kinds of whatever, you know, they treat you well. Not as well as if I was at Tennessee or Memphis somewhere, but Tennessee Tech, it's a growing football place. But my first 2 years there, I just, again, I was the same way I was in high school. I would claim I was a Christian one day, and the next day, you never know what I was doing. And so I was in the dorms. I was in a prison cell, actually, at Tennessee Tech. That's what I like to call them. I was there by myself, and my next door neighbor, he was actually involved with campus outreach, and you know, he would always come up to me and say, hey, Corey, you know, he would always share the Bible with me, he would share scripture with me all the time, and I'm like, man, that's cool, dude, you know, you don't got to tell me all about that, I'm a Christian, I know about it, you know what I'm saying, it's cool. But as the semester went on, this was my sophomore year, this is 2 years ago, semester went on, and he continued to see my life. Because he was my next-door neighbor. We saw each other every day. And he continued to see how I was claiming to be a Christian, but I really wasn't with the fruits of my life. And he came to me one day right before finals week, and he said, he just straight up came into me, into my room, and he said, man, Corey, he said, you claim to be a Christian, but the way the fruit says in the Bible that God talks about, a Christian's fruit looks like, that's not what you, the way your life looks like, that's not what it looks like, the way God talks about it. And he straight up told me, he said, Corey, you're a hypocrite. And he said, you claim to be a Christian, but you're not. And again, as a football player, this guy was a tall, weird looking engineer guy. And so for me, I'm just like, man, you can get out of my room or I'm going to punch you in the face. So I was just like, man, I don't know what's going on. But the reason why I got mad was because, man, I felt convicted. I was like, man, this guy's so right. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm living two lives. And so the whole semester, the final week of the semester during finals, I'm trying to study for finals and trying to take tests. But at the same time, while I'm taking these tests, I'm thinking to myself, am I really a Christian? What does a Christian really look like? Am I really living for God? I just remember at the end of the week, I got done with my last final, and I came into my prison cell again, and I ain't gonna lie, I cried out to Jesus all night, and so ever since then, my life has been totally different. I'm in a football locker room full of 100 college guys, and maybe me and one other guy are really serving the Lord, seeking the Lord, and it's tough, but at the same time, man, God has really blessed me and given me a chance to be a light in front of those guys. I just think it's a miracle just where I've come from and just from how God has changed my life. And I'm actually involved with Campus Outreach, and since the guy, Ben Schulte's the weird engineer guy, got me involved, and so I've been serving with Campus Outreach for the past couple of years, and really the past two years have been just a growing experience. I'm really only been a Christian for 2 years, so I'm still learning a lot. But lately, it's actually been really, it's been kind of hitting me hard of how to become an actually leader for Christ. And I've been able to start a Bible study on my football team. I've been able to lead some guys just to help them understand who Jesus was and really why he came to die for us. And it's so cool just to see some of these guys who've never even heard, really. It's surprising. You're like, you never heard of Jesus before? Are you serious? You know, it's like, okay, well, let me tell you about him. And it's just been so cool where God's brought me. And my life now is just totally changed from what it was in the past. And so I've had the opportunity to be in this wild place called college, where us natives live, I've seen a lot of people, their lives change, and it's just so awesome the way God just changes hearts and how he uses different people. And thank you all very much. Hope you all have a great day.
So I'm Micah Till, and I'm an engineer, so I actually hit that one from tech. If you actually go there, then it's going to be fairly rare to find someone who's not. But I'm a little bit different than most of the people in Campus Outreach in that I came into college as a Christian. I came from a strong Christian family where my dad became a Christian when he was 16. My mom was in church all her life, and then she woke up one day and was kind of like, you know what, I've never really surrendered to Christ. And at 42, she became a Christian. And so, as a result, my family was really strongly, really strongly focused on the Word and the truth of the Gospel. And it was just a really good atmosphere to grow up in. When I was young, God just opened me up to understand how much I needed Him. And it was, I don't know, He taught me a lot through all of that. So I came into college, and I knew a lot, but I was kind of like, I don't know how to apply most of this stuff. I knew I needed to share my faith, and it became pretty obvious first week that people around me needed Christ. And I was trying to tell them about it, and it just wasn't clicking. Like, I would say things, and they'd be kind of like, "That, what does that mean?" Because Jesus saves. We know what that means. But if you go up to someone who's never heard of Jesus before, that doesn't mean a whole lot. And my college pastor back home had told me, there's this guy, his name's Tyler Hodge. He interned here in Chattanooga, which is where I was through high school. He goes to Tennessee Tech, and he's involved in this group called Campus Outreach. You should really check it out, because he's a cool guy, and he had a lot of good things to say about it. So I ended up running into him the first weekend I was up there. And he started taking me to some Campus Outreach meetings, and it was a really good fit. It became obvious that they were preaching the gospel, and they were teaching people how to preach the gospel. And over the next couple semesters, I got involved in discipleship with a guy who, he just taught me how to tell people about Christ, how to take what I knew and apply it, and how to study even more so that I could find out more and be able to apply that too. This past summer, I went to one of the projects that they have, which we go work at Dollywood. We learn through a lot of really uncomfortable but really good situations how to share the gospel with people that we meet. We get a lot of training on how to study the Word and share the gospel more. And it's not like this is stuff that I don't know, but I on my own would never be able to do this. Just because I came in as a Christian, just because I knew some Christian people, I really needed a group that was looking to teach people how to share the gospel, that was looking to teach people how to teach people how to share the gospel. One really cool situation that God's put me in, I started rooming with a guy who, he had been in church his whole life. We had a few things in common. It became really obvious that he didn't really know what it meant to follow Christ. That he was just a good guy. And he came to one of the retreats last semester. And they put up this list. This is what it means to be a Christian. This is what your life looks like if you're not. And he sat down and he was kind of like, I know which side I'm on, and it's not the side I want to be on. And we're still trying to talk to him about different things. He looked at the gospel and suddenly it made sense to him. The thing that he's been hearing all his life, that Christ died for our sins, suddenly it became more than, oh yeah, so I need to go to church. So I need to just do good things. Suddenly it was, I need God because I can't do it. I need God because I'm not enough. And it's just been really cool to get training in how to say things like that, how to be able to communicate to people that it's not what I do, it's not something that I work up. It's what God does through us, what God did on the cross through Christ. So that's just what it's been to me. All right, thanks.
Well, those guys are going to dip out, get back to their retreat. Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it. And isn't that great to hear some stories from the front lines of the mission field there? And our mission statement is to build laborers on the campus for the lost world. And some people ask me, well, Mason, you know, why don't you do this in the context of, you know, foreign missions? Or why don't you... get into church planning or go, you know, different things. And I would say, well, those are all exciting, strategic things. But personally, I came to Christ in college. I came in as a pagan, didn't know Christ, lived for everything but that. I said I was a Christian because I was American and not an atheist. But didn't live for any of those things, kind of like Corey was talking about. Came to Christ, was led to Christ through a campus outreach staff. And I just caught a vision in college that, man, on the college campus, you are in one of the most strategic areas for thrusting out workers for this ripe harvest, unlike almost any other context in the entire world. Think about this. You have people with no financial strains on their life. They're the richest demographic of people in the entire world. You may not think that if it's, you know, well, they have to get the lottery scholarship to go. They're not that rich. It's like, no, it's rich people, you know, poor people paying for rich people to go to college in Tennessee. And it's like you have the richest demographic of people in the world who have nothing but time to play about 5 hours of Xbox a day, study sometimes, and spend about 6 hours in the cafeteria and filling up their time with all kinds of other things to do. And I can go into that place and I can just start sharing the gospel, building relationships, doing things like these guys were talking about, intramurals and different things, and finding locker rooms and pockets of things. And I can start with the first E. There's four E's of college ministry. And I can start with the first E.
Is marker on that?
Yes. Is that the good one?
Yeah.
There's always the good one somewhere. Yeah, the first E there. And that's evangelism. Is we come in and we just start ministry, sharing the gospel, one by one. You know, on my college specifically, it was this one guy and his staff partner, and they just started sharing the gospel. And the promise we have of that is, as we share the gospel, what happens? People come to Christ, and it's exciting. But it didn't stop there, because after a college student becomes a Christian, which there's a whole lot of them that can hear the gospel and have a lot of time to talk about the gospel, we move into our next E. Is that the wrong one? Man. This one? Okay. Man, I was all over the place. Okay. And you have the next E, and that's where we get the chance to equip college students. See, we're not into just seeing a bunch of college students come to Christ. That's been probably the ministry philosophy on college campuses in America for about the last 60 years. Is go out and have as many crusades and tell them four laws and do all kinds of things and lead as many people as possible to Christ and then tell them, go reach more, which is exciting and has reached a lot of people. My mom came to Christ through Expo 72 at the Campus Crusade Billy Graham deal, and it was exciting. But what happens when you say, hey, you know what, I want to equip these young converts in the basics of the faith. I want to take them through how to study the Word and have a devotional life and what it means to pray and have biblical fellowship and be involved in a member, active member in the local church. And as these guys, I've obviously been impacted by, you know, how to really personally learn how to share your faith with strangers effectively and fruitfully. And so I can do that with these guys, and I can do that intensely over a short amount of time. I can say, hey, why don't you take a whole summer and get 10 weeks of training, and I'll give you a job at the coolest place in Tennessee, Dollywood. And they can say, you know what? Okay, there's, nothing on my schedule for the summer. You know what I mean? And they can do it. They can afford to go. And so I can equip them over those early years of their life. But then it gets even sweeter, and you have the next E. What did I do with it? There it is. And that's... Well, I actually went ahead of myself. This was supposed to be establish. You guys are making me nervous. Establish was that next one. And then equip them for ministry. Those three guys who just came in here, they're guys who came in. We evangelized them. Some of them were already Christians. Some of them weren't. They came to Christ. We established them in the basics like I just talked about. But now here's the exciting thing. You're starting to see exponential growth of the ministry on your campus. Guess what? Me on the campus, you guys supporting our ministry and me facilitating and directing the ministry, I'm having about 32 small group Bible studies on the campus. I only go to four of those with the football team, basketball team, baseball team, and Pi Kappa Alpha. But through all these students who've been equipped through the ministry, almost every dorm has an evangelistic ministry. Almost every sports team, almost every fraternity and sorority is having evangelistic ministries. And this is over a course of about a 2 and 3 year period. Because we've taken the time to say, hey, on the front end, it's going to be slow to take some of these few disciples and equip them and establish them in the faith. But the return on the time taken comes back. And so now we have these multiple things. There's 140 students from Tennessee Tech over at the DoubleTree right now, hearing how to apply all the things they've learned this weekend. And they're going to go back and be able to just... You know, go all over this campus. Then you get to the really sweet spot of it all. And that's where we get to export students. And this is why when somebody says, hey, Mason, why don't you go be an overseas missionary? You know, you love, you know, people from other cultures. You know, you always talk about your mission trips to Brazil and, you know, all these different things that you've been on. Why don't you do those things? I'm like, man, I could... But I can send out 5 missionaries in the next couple of years. Mason, hey, you love to teach and coach. You love talking sports and getting in there with the most lost guys on the sports teams and sharing Christ with them. Why don't you be a football coach in a high school in the inner city of Memphis or something like that? I would love to, but you know what? I can send out 20 of those over the next few years from the college campus. Hey, Mason, why don't you... Go to seminary. You love to sit around and talk about a bunch of things that Lee likes to talk about all the time and do these things. And it's like, we've sent, I lost count a long time ago, how many to Southern and RTS and Covenant. And from the college campus, I can multiply my life out and literally see labor sent out across the world from this little podunk town of Cookeville, Tennessee. And I'm able to do that because I can spend about 60 hours a week doing this, not bivocationally, because of the support that you guys give, lowering the rope of the missionary into this context. And as the analogy ends, at the end of the day, we all have scars on our hands. And I think one case study that I have right here on the front row, I'm going to embarrass Steve Jobs Svebeken. If you need to, I know how to say it perfectly. S-V-E-B-E-K-K-E-N. But I think I can take him through this whole thing and you can see the fruit of it. As I came to Christ my freshman year, I was rushing Pi Kappa Alpha on the campus. They raised the most hell. That's where I wanted to go. I was excited. And the campus outreach staff was an alumni who came to Christ in college through the Christian in his fraternity. And so he was going around to all the pledges in the fraternity. And guess what they have to do with this alumni? They have to listen to everything he says. So we shared the gospel with every single pledge on the campus. My roommate was pledging. I was just a rushee. And I overheard him. And I was like, man, I've never heard it put that way before. I never heard this whole, we're totally depraved over here. God's holy over here. This is, you know. And over the course of that year, he led me to Christ, this guy, and discipled me over those next 4 years. But after coming back from my summer project, I was ate up with this vision of multiplying my life and wanting to go through these things. And so I started sharing my faith on my dorm floor. So I'm sharing my faith. There's the Vietnamese guy. There's a guy from Turkmenistan, a guy from Tajikistan, a guy from Paducah, a guy from, you know what I mean, all over the place at Murray State. And I'm sharing my faith. And then there's this guy who I couldn't hardly understand with his thick northern accent, Steve from Iowa. And I start sharing with him, and I think I took him through the bridge diagram of Romans 6:23 illustration, and he was interested and stuff. It was right before the Christmas break, I think. And, you know, he was cordial, listened to me. I think we spent most of the time talking about Big Ten, the greatest conference in the nation. I'm from Indiana. And, you know, all these different things. And, you know, I couldn't tell if he was interested or not. We came back from the Christmas break, and he's like, man, I need what you were talking about. Nothing in my life is going the way I thought it was. My fraternity split up. My girlfriend dumped me. My this or that. Or did you dump her? I don't know what it was. But and this guy is radically converted. He had no church background. He grew up in some liberal, wacko denomination that he didn't go to anyway. And he had this radical conversion. And he starts growing like crazy. He's sharing with his fraternity brothers. He goes to our summer project to get training. He memorizes the book of Philippians. Less than a year after being a Christian, he didn't get that from me, and it just goes crazy. And then, as he graduates, he has an opportunity to go out. And if you're going to be a teacher, you have to get your jobs, you know, that spring before you graduate while you're doing your student teaching. And he's like, Mace, I'm skipping looking for jobs. I'm going to go to that summer project again as a leader and get training and just trust God for what happens. You know, everybody's going, I'm like, yeah, great. Step out on faith. That's awesome. Everybody else will tell him, you're an idiot. What are you doing? But he was just, he's like, I want to be equipped for ministry for a lifetime. So he went there, trusted God. He gets a phone call in the middle of the summer or something like that from some principal in this place in the middle of a cotton field, Brownsville, Tennessee. Say, hey, we got a spot for you. And we export him out as a missionary to West Tennessee. And I think you guys know the rest of the history of all the soccer players that have heard the gospel and math students who wish they weren't in math class but heard the gospel and different things like that. And that's one of thousands of stories. And I can just go down the road of international students on our campus and African-American students on our campus, and it didn't stop. And what I want to say this morning is, thank you. When we get to eternity, there will be people there saying, thank you. You put somebody on the front lines who went to a campus and didn't build a building and say, come meet Christians and eat free lunch and stuff like that. But you supported this ministry that went in and found the most lost, hellion places on campus and just camped out there. Until I came to Christ. And that person couldn't have done that if they weren't fully supported and funded to do that full time, 60 hours a week. And you guys made it possible. And the future is as bright as the promises of God, is what Adoniram Judson says. And that's really what I believe for our campus ministry in the state of Tennessee. We're at Tennessee Tech right now. And our vision is that God would export laborers to all the major cities and all the small towns and everywhere in between. And he'd send out missionaries all over the world and things would happen. But also that God would raise up some others who say, I believe in this whole campus ministry thing. I really think it is as strategic as what you're saying here. And they want to go to Tennessee Chattanooga and UT and East Tennessee State and Austin Peay and over here to Martin and wherever it is. So pray for that. Pray that God would bring that exponential growth, which he always has. Remember, it started with 12 dudes. And here we are. That he would just do it again. That God would raise up laborers for the harvest on the college campus. My wife is has been such an encouragement to me. And she, you know, just one small couple stories here is, you know, right now over there at the retreat, one of our campuses that we're on is the University of Memphis, and they have a huge, thriving women's ministry. And one of the staff wives who was on that team is a woman that my wife discipled and trained up. And we're vicariously, you know, getting to have impact on that campus because of our time, her time given away there. And so we get to do this as a team, and, you know, she's kind of swarmed up with our three little disciples right now, and which is the most exciting discipleship thing going on. So I'm thankful for her. And even I wanted to give you guys some specific prayer requests for us in our ministry. That would be just great if you could pray. One, that God would keep us as a staff couple in his word and intimate with Christ. Is we preach to the students that everything comes out of overflow. Just the John 15:5. Philosophy of I must abide in the vine if I want to see fruit happen. So if you just pray for us that we would abide in the vine, be close to him, and protected from all the dangers of this world and snares that are out there. And then two, for these students, just like I said, the sky is the limit. And that you would just pray for students to be raised up. You know, you're seeing some of the fruit even back here. You know, there's another guy in college. His name, you know, was Tyler. And I was a senior. He was a freshman. He moved in. He was this rich kid from Jackson, Tennessee. His dad, like, was in charge of this huge magazine company. I don't know what it was. All I know is he pulled up in this, you know, $30,000 car. I'm like, what is this guy doing at Murray State? And he comes in. He lives across the hall from me. And all the other guys are buying Bush Light Draft for $5 a case. He comes in with these imported bottles. You know, I'm like, all right, this guy's going to hear the gospel. You know what I mean? It's like, that's what I want. You know, the guy's not afraid to party it up, and I'm ready to share with him. And we start sharing, you know, dialoguing, and things just click rapidly for this guy. He comes to Christ in a month after being in school. Goes back home, tells his parents, and they're like, what are you doing? You're already a Christian. We confirmed you a long time ago and all this stuff. And he's like, no, you got to hear this message. So he goes back home, leads his mom to Christ, and his dad gets all fired up and starts growing in Christ. And they just start being this family who's going crazy. They start having Bible studies at their bagel shop called Bubba's in town, and all these crazy things start happening. And, you know, I think back, and Tyler's mom passed away this past fall. Her name was Jenny, and they used to be members of this church, Marty and Jenny Jacobus. And I think, man, what? You know, God's sovereign, he's in control, but it still makes you think, what would have happened if Tyler wouldn't have been across the hall from me? I got to share the gospel with him. And he went home and shared with his parents. That's what we're supporting here. And that's what you get to be a part of in your jobs and in your classes and in your organizations that you're in the community. Is you never know who you're going to impact and the exponential growth that could take place. So thank you. And you know, even right now, on my way over here, one of my staff guys stopped me. He's like, man, pray for Bradley. He's a Sigma Chi. Last week he was drunk, didn't know where he was. This week he's at Spring Retreat, and we stay up till 3 discussing the gospel, and he's ready to come to Christ. It's happening right now, and you guys are making it possible through your giving. Well, let me pray, and we'll go on and worship together. Father God, we come this morning knowing that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God who is and who was, the Almighty. And Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you reveal yourself to us that you didn't just start over, but Lord, you redeemed us through the blood of Jesus Christ and paid our payment that we owed. And not only saved us, Father, but Lord, called us to be your ambassador and commanded us to go and preach the good news to all creation. And I'm thankful that you chose the church to be your instrument to put out the gospel across the nations. And I'm thankful for this local church who has that conviction to make disciples here in Jackson, and enough vision and faith to support guys that they maybe not hardly know who are doing it in other places who it wouldn't be possible without. God, I thank you for them. I thank you for calling us. I thank you for college ministry and the opportunity that's there. I pray that you would put conviction in our hearts this week to share our faith, to make you known, and to ask you to give us men and women that we can lead to Christ and disciple and establish in the basics and equip for ministry and export out to different spheres of influence. I pray that would happen here in Jackson through Cornerstone. Lord, raise up laborers. Lord, thank you for the body of Christ. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.